United Kingdom, May 28th, 2020. This is Lou Cavalli. Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli and I see that every week the news grows more critical, even as the few truth tellers in the alternative media are sanctioned or silent. An example was MailChimp deactivating Children's Health Defense in March with no advance notice and no violation of MailChimp's rules. The site had discussed Dr. Fauci. Therapeutics now or vaccines later. Tonight we bring you the newest developments, crucial to your lives, your well-being, and also a long timeline of possible preparation for medical tyranny. We'll begin with some headlines. From Natural News, May 23rd, President Trump orders houses of worship to open, threatens to override states that refuse. Trump criticized governor's hypocrisy to close churches, yet allow liquor stores and abortion clinics to remain open. Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo said she will not alter her lockdown protocols to reopen churches. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said Chicago would ignore Trump's demand. Brazil becomes the new global coronavirus hotspot, but Bolsonaro doesn't even mention it in a cabinet meeting.
And that was a newer development, Lou.
Yes.
I believe that was actually May 27th, wasn't it?
You're exactly right. Yes, that's correct. And I'll make a comment here. In a sense, churches, just like schools, have been able to hold services with remote distance access. Understanding, as Elizabeth and I do, and all of you know more and more, proof is adding up that COVID-19 is an engineered bioweapon. So, though we cannot let the globalists destroy our country with persistent perpetual lockdowns, still we must take seriously the words of this next paragraph in Natural News. One of their articles, quote, "Public health experts have raised concerns about the risks entailed with reopening religious institutions, especially when these have already been, or when there have already been, several cases of outbreaks spreading from church congregations. A small outbreak of COVID-19 broke out in rural Arkansas, which spread from a pastor and his wife to around three dozen of their parishioners. At least two churches in Texas and Georgia have already shut down after reopening, when several of their members tested positive for the coronavirus." Kelly Shackelford, May 26, explained to Fox News' Shannon Bream how the 19th Circuit ruled against churches. Shackelford says the problem is that compared to other businesses and secular institutions, they are discriminated against, treated differently. So FirstLiberty.org is going to find out if there is they are taking part in a case from California being taken to the Supreme Court. So far, it looks as though the huge spike expected did not come in states like Georgia that have begun reopening. In what some Fox commentators have called a cynical move, the CDC has suddenly downsized the mortality rate of the coronavirus to 0.3%.
Lou, we've got to stop on that one. You know, you have been tracking Mike Adams at naturalnews.com's figures for all these months since March, and we watched over those two doctors from California, those natural type doctors, who wanted to say it was about, what, 1.6, something like that?
Yes.
More
yes.
Like the flu. This is incredible. This is absurd. This is the New World Order laughing at us, I think. Or they're trying to get people to completely let down their guard. Listeners, you're going to hear after a while about the scenes that were shown on Tucker Carlson tonight, May 26th, of all the people streaming down the boardwalks at Ocean City, Maryland. And it was scary. There was not social distancing. There was a throng of people. So, we are on the side of you saying, well, you listeners, we are also on the side of reopening our country safely. So we think that both can coexist, but people have to use the brains God gave them. Go ahead, Lou.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Dr. Mark Siegel on May 26 expressed his concern to Fox's Shannon Bream that the escalating COVID situation in Brazil could instigate the second wave in the fall in America if travel from Brazil is not restricted. Eagle also commented that he believes that countries like Australia and New Zealand that locked down very early and very completely were most successful in lowering COVID cases, but that in the United States, asymptomatic cases had already spread to such a point that lockdowns were not as significant a help.
Yes, and we know why, don't we? The CDC discouraged the testing. The states were not supposed to test, so there was an oops, we goofed for a long, long time so that possibly the pandemic could spread and get worse, so that we couldn't do effectively the way those other two countries did with the lockdown. And I think that Dr. Siegel also hinted that possibly if something's underway, that we will be restricting air travel coming in from Brazil and other travel from Brazil. So we'll see. We'll have to watch that one.
That's right. And we might add, too, at first they discouraged using masks. Then all of a sudden, oh, yes, you've got to use a mask. Everybody has to use a mask.
A lot of inconsistency. A lot
very
of things
much.
That are very suspect. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes, Tucker Carlson. On Fox Tuesday night, May 26, said that on average, states that never locked down ended up no worse than states that did. Yet, we would have to ask whether these comparisons are fair, when usually it was rural, sparsely populated states that did not lock down. Soon, if the COVID does spread through abandoning social distancing, we should see another surge in Maryland, judging by the TV clips of large numbers of people streaming onto the Ocean City boardwalk, as Elizabeth just was commenting. This, of course, was the Memorial Day weekend, and some people just couldn't resist the urge to go to the beach in large, large numbers.
And I think, why don't you pull up your figures, Lou? You were looking today at the states who did this earlier reopening, pretty much Florida, Georgia,
And Texas.
And you found something strange about Texas.
Yes, Texas, they don't list the new cases for today or the new deaths. They do list the total cases.
Now, is this at the Worldometer site?
It is. That's a very good site. It seems to get a lot of statistics quickly and easily.
It's spelled just like Worldometer put together, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all one word, like Worldometer, if you were going to say it that way. Yes, that's exactly right. Well, what I did is I just took a look at those three states together with our own native state of Maryland. And Florida had 52,634 cases and 379 new cases, which turns out to be about 2.6%, very much like our own state here of Maryland.
And how long did it take for that to happen? Overnight or a few days?
I believe it was, as far as I know, that's one day.
One day. Repeat that figure.
Yes, that was...
Florida,
I should say the new cases. Now, I have that wrong. The new cases, it was only 0.7%, but the new deaths, compared with the total deaths, was 2.6%. So the deaths seem to be rising more quickly than the cases themselves, at least in Florida.
So that was Florida.
Now, Georgia, new case percent was 1.0. The new death percent, new deaths divided by total deaths, was 0.6, much lower than Florida. Texas, we don't have the figures.
That was Georgia, was lower.
That was Georgia, yes.
Interesting.
Don't have the figures for Texas.
No, as we said, we don't know. Well,
now, one thing that's interesting, too, if you take the deaths per 1 million population, which gives you an idea of what fraction of the state actually has died from it, Florida is about 108, Georgia 180, Texas only 54. So Texas would seem to be a pretty safe place. Maryland, on the other hand, which is far from the highest in the country, was 396. So again, that's pretty high compared
that's new
to
cases.
54. That's deaths per 100. Make that deaths per 1 million of population.
And cases are still rising.
Yes,
in fact, Maryland. The large counties, like Prince George's County, that's a largely African-American county, which, again, makes it look interesting.
And very quickly, I did figure out what the percent change was.
Yes.
The only figures we had on those that we could get quickly were some of the counties from Saturday up to Tuesday, the 26th. The county we live in was 5.2%. Baltimore County, that always confuses people. It did me when I moved to Maryland. Baltimore County, as opposed to Baltimore City, was up 3.9%.
What is the difference?
Well, Baltimore City is the actual city of Baltimore. Baltimore County is a large county that surrounds the city on three sides.
And what were the statistics again on those two?
For Baltimore County, 3.9% was the percent increase. But for Baltimore City, it was 6.9%.
Again, the urban blue cities are really taking it on the chin.
Prince George's County, one of the great big suburban counties.
That's the one that we said has a large population of African Americans.
Yes, that wasn't quite as high, 3.7%. But Montgomery, which is always thought of as being the wealthier of the two counties, on the northwest side of the District of Columbia, was 6.1%.
That's interesting, too. You knew me when I was in a great job struggle, and I had to get in my car and go do tutoring in the land of the rich, Potomac, Maryland. So that was in that area. I think Sugar Ray Leonard had a large home there. So that's interesting. That's a pretty affluent place. Well,
yes.
Now I think we're going to move on. And as you and I have said, Lou, we're strongly in favor of America's economy being accelerated. We have to reopen to stave off the horrible plans to take down our economy and bring in the new world order. But at the same time, we have to think about the social distancing and continue to be careful. And we have to really look closely at these nursing home deaths. The governors Cuomo, Wolf, and Whitmer may have just ordered those positive cases back into the nursing homes unwittingly, but was it with intent as part of a satanic plan to kill off old people? You know, God does not want you to be misled by some alternative radio hosts who say COVID is a common cold. Even the mainstream media is beginning to open the door to the flood of credible scientists. You see, like Dr. Francis Boyle, Dr. Luc Montagnier, and the Indian scientists whose research indicate COVID is a bioweapon. And in a moment, we'll hear what Bill Goetz, the well-known writer at the Washington Examiner, said. But before we do that, I think it's important also to realize that we're always told that no younger people get very ill. And I picked up a magazine today. It happened to be Good Housekeeping. And here was the first case profiled. Trudy Cloyd, age 35, and she's an emergency medicine physician at New York Presbyterian Columbia University Irving Medical Center. And she said, I tested positive for COVID-19 myself and spent 12 days at home quite sick. She had to quarantine and eventually went back to work. Now, she was age 35. Now, here's another case, Sydney Shackelford. There's a picture of her. They don't give her age, but she looks as though she could be in the range of maybe 28 to 42, something like that. And this is what she said. I survived the virus. I started feeling bad on a Saturday in mid-March, a few days before, during a meeting with a client. I'd heard on the radio that the coronavirus was officially a global pandemic. At first, my symptoms were chills, body aches, and a fever that hovered around 101 degrees Fahrenheit. As the days passed, I would feel a little better, then get really tired. I thought maybe I just had the flu. But by the time the next weekend rolled around, I'd developed a dry cough, and my breathing was really shallow. That's when I knew it was probably COVID-19. By Monday, my breathing was worse, and my fever was up to 103 degrees Fahrenheit. I called my doctor, and she gave me a prescription for a drive-up test at a local hospital. We drove there and sat in my car in line for about 45 minutes. Finally, a nurse in a full hazmat suit approached and did a swab test, which was not pleasant at all. They poked the swab painfully far up your nose. 5 days later, my doctor called with the results. The test was positive for COVID-19. I was still feeling very sick. I had chills and aches, and my fever was now around 102 degrees Fahrenheit. When I told my mom, she cried because she was so worried. I was actually starting to feel a little better by that point, so I was able to reassure her. I was lucky not to get to the point where my doctor thought I needed to go to the hospital. She told me that when I had gone 72 hours without symptoms, I could go off quarantine. And now I'm going to read to you the Bill Goetz article from the Washington Times, May 21st. This is one more researcher, scientific researcher, weighing in about COVID-19 being a bioweapon. And then I think, Lou, we need to present that article from another scientific person via your relative who emailed it to you.
Yes.
So that we see this is not the common cold, and that we must not just go too far and be glib. Just we have to be careful of propaganda on the other side that may say, oh, you can just walk down the boardwalk, nothing wrong. You can go out and throng the beaches. The sun will kill it all. We have to be careful and, again, use the brains that God gave us. The Washington Times, May 21st, 2020, Bill Goetz. Australian researchers see virus design manipulation. A forthcoming Australian scientific study concludes that the coronavirus causing the global pandemic contains unique properties, suggesting it was manipulated in a Chinese laboratory and was not the result of a natural occurrence. Five scientists who conducted the study discovered an unusual ability of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, as the pathogen behind COVID-19 is called, to easily infect humans. The scientists said there is no sign so far that the virus can be found in other animals, including bats or the exotic wildlife sold for fresh meat at a market in the Chinese city of Wuhan, where the virus was first identified and where China maintains a major laboratory studying such viruses. The preliminary report of the study, which is now being peer-reviewed, is based on computer modeling of the virus's ability to reflect various various animals, including humans. It was published May 13th on the Cornell University website, or xiv.org, which is used for discussion of pre-publication papers. Nikolai Petrovsky, the lead researcher, said his team suspects human manipulation in Wuhan because of the unmatched ability of the virus's protruding spike to infect human cells. The virus's binding strength for human cells, quote, far exceeds similar properties for infecting other animals, he said in a statement on the forthcoming report, quote, this, plus the fact that no corresponding virus has been found to exist in nature, leads to the possibility that COVID-19 is a human-created virus, said Mr. Petrovsky, a professor at the College of Medicine and Public Health at Flinders University in Adelaide, Australia. Quote, it is therefore entirely plausible that the virus was created in the biosecurity facility in Wuhan by selection on cells expressing human ACE2, a laboratory that was known to be cultivating exotic but bat coronaviruses at the time. ACE2 is the acronym for angiotensin converting enzyme 2, which is a cell which is on cell surfaces. The enzyme is the entry point the coronavirus uses to infect organisms and spread. Now, again, we stop and we learn that's ACE2, and that's the acronym for angiotensin converting enzyme 2. And this is, you see, the entry point where the virus can get in and infect the organism. Back to Goetz. Human lung cells contain ACE2 receptors that have been shown to be key targets of the SARS-CoV-2. A laboratory-treated coronavirus also could have escaped the facility through an accidental infection of a staff member who then visited the Wuhan wild animal market, Mr. Petrovsky said. Other potential sources include inappropriate disposal of medical waste at a Wuhan laboratory or transmission from a cat or other animal that came into contact with infected waste. Mr. Petrovsky said the research team believes the quick evolution of the coronavirus and its unique ability to infect humans are either, quote, a remarkable coincidence or, quote, a sign of human intervention. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying denied again this month that the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which houses China's high security laboratory studying pathogens, was the source of the outbreak. The head of the Wuhan laboratory has also said she is convinced, after a review, that her lab played no role in the virus's spread. Another Chinese foreign ministry official, Zhao Lijian, suggested that the U.S. Army brought the virus to China. President Trump and other top officials angrily denied that accusation. And we have to interject here that we remember those games back in October of 2019 were being held, those pandemic drill games, world games, UN participants with soldiers sent from America right there to the Wuhan area. Now, Lou and I do not think our soldiers carried this pathogen. There was no need to invent a conspiracy for that. We had plenty of data suggesting that in the Obama years, this whole project was moved from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and it was put into Wuhan. So we did not have to have the soldiers taking it. But it is worth noting that this exercise was held, and shortly after that was Event 201 by Bill Gates. So now back to Bill Gates and Lou Kamen. Isn't it interesting? It's kind of like a doppelganger thing. We have on one hand Bill Gates, and on the other side we have Bill Gates. Interesting, Lou, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, good and evil, maybe.
Yep.
So at any rate, we go back here to the article. The Australian study contradicts other scientists' assertions that there is no evidence the virus originated in a Chinese laboratory or that it is the result of a laboratory bioengineering. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and a key advisor to the pandemic, has dismissed any suggestion that the virus came from a Chinese laboratory. If you look at the evolution of the virus in bats and what's out there now, the scientific evidence is very, very strongly leaning toward this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated, he told National Geographic this month. Quote, everything about the stepwise evolution over time strongly indicates that this virus evolved in nature and then jumped species, end of quote. The forthcoming study, however, and this is again Bill Gates at the Washington Examiner, concludes that the binding energy of the virus's, quote, spike protein, the crown-like protrusions surrounding the surface of the round microbe, is highest for humans and greater than all other species tested, including bats, which have been widely targeted as the likely original source. Quote, this indicates that SARS-CoV-2 is a highly adapted human pathogen, the Australian report said. The team analyzed spike protein binding at the virus on a range of other animals, including pangolins, civets, mice, hamsters, cats, dogs, snakes, horses, tigers, and cows. Overall, the data indicates that SARS-CoV-2 is uniquely adapted to infect humans, raising important questions as to whether it arose in nature by a rare chance event or whether its origins might be elsewhere, the report said. Jonathan J. Coney, a research assistant professor of neurobiology at the University of Pittsburgh, said he agrees with the Australian findings. Quote, understanding the exact origin of this virus is vital to ensure that all scientific and medical data are interpreted correctly by policymakers and healthcare professionals alike, Mr. Coney said. However, he said, debate on the laboratory origin of the virus has been stymied by scientists opposed to even considering the possibility. Several scientists, now this is a quote again from Mr. Coney. He is the research assistant professor of neurobiology at Pitt, University of Pittsburgh. And he said, several scientists with obvious conflicts of interest have been permitted to go on the record denying that it would be possible to generate such a virus in a laboratory and stating specifically that the sequence of SARS-CoV-2 would never have been chosen by any gene jockey, he said in an email. Both of these denials are not genuine scientific rebuttals, but rather semantic pseudo-denials formulated by some of those most closely tied to the funding of these, and in brackets, gain-of-function research lines. Gain-of-function research is laboratory work for increasing the ability of pathogens to cause disease. It is carried out to study pandemics and how to respond to them. Research institutions and U.S. intelligence agencies are investigating the origin of the virus, which has new infections going on, but he says, which has now infected nearly 5 million people worldwide and is blamed for at least 323,000 deaths. Of course, the stats went up since he wrote this. The 106,000 new cases of infections recorded Tuesday was the most in a single day since the outbreak began, WHO officials said in Geneva. U.S. intelligence agencies say they agree with a, quote, wide scientific consensus that the virus was not man-made or genetically modified, according to an April 30th statement by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. But public and private researchers have said it is impossible to dismiss the possibility of an accidental leak from the Wuhan laboratory of what became the COVID-19 strain. The spy agencies are studying emerging information and intelligence, quote, to determine whether the outbreak began through contact with infected animals or if it was the result of an accident at a laboratory in Wuhan, the ODNI said in an unusual public statement. Knowing the origin of the virus could prove critical to finding vaccines and treatments and responding to future outbreaks, researchers say. The Australian study is the second scientific paper to suggest laboratory manipulation played a part. And here you see Bill Gates reaffirms what we have told you before from Dr. Francis Boyle and from the Indian researchers. He says, a group of Indian scientists published a paper on January 31st that found the new coronavirus contained four insertions to the spike protein that are unique to SARS-CoV-2 and not found in other coronaviruses. The features, they said, are similar to those found in the virus known as HIV. These scientists concluded that similar structures are, quote, unlikely to be fortuitous in nature, end of quote. The Indian paper was withdrawn under pressure from China, but the scientists involved refused to repudiate their research and promised to publish their findings eventually. Mr. Petrovsky, who is also research director for Vaccine, PTY LTD, a biotechnology company based in Bedford Park, South Australia, said the source of the virus remains a vitally important question. While COVID-19 has close similarities to SARS and other bat viruses, no natural virus matching to COVID-19 has been found in nature, despite of search to find the original, the origins, he said. This raises the very legitimate question of whether the COVID-19 virus might be the result of human intervention. Like other scientists who studied the virus, the Australian team did not find easily recognizable artificial gene inserts that would signal virus engineering. Mr. Petrovsky said there are ways to manipulate viruses without such inserts. For example, laboratory technicians could take a bat coronavirus that is not infectious to humans and force its evolution by culturing the virus with cells that have the human receptor. That process was used to culture SARS coronaviruses in laboratories. The result would be that, quote, you can force the bat virus to adapt to infect human cells via mutations in its spike protein, Mr. Petrovsky said. Laboratory development of viruses also can create other random mutations. Quote, the result of these experiments is a virus that is highly virulent in humans, but is sufficiently different that it is no longer resembles the original bat virus, he said. Since those mutations would be acquired randomly in a laboratory, there would be no signature of bioengineering. Quote, but this is clearly a virus still created by human intervention. The Chinese government initially said the virus appeared to originate in Wuhan, seafood market in Wuhan. Oh, I believe it did have another name, Huanan, but later changed its official version to say the origin is something for scientists to study. So we could go on here about the secrecy of China and what it does. And Goetz concludes, however, the nature of this event and its proximity to a high-risk biosecurity facility at the epicenter of the outbreak demands a full and independent international inquiry to ascertain whether a virus of this kind of COVID-19 was being cultured in the facility and might have been accidentally released, Mr. Petrovsky said. We may not have time to give you all of our research tonight, but we have a lot of important information. And Lou, would you tell us, again, tell our listeners how they can visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and if there is some problem with the written text, just tell them how they can really hear it.
Yes, you can, if you go to the menu on the left, you can drop down, and the easiest way, just select the one that says Archives, and you can pick a date and click on it, and it should connect you right away with the computer. There are also program notes, but we've had a little problem with those, so temporarily you may just want to bypass that. Go direct to the Archives section, and you can see the dates, and it will stream it, so you can listen to any program from any date you want.
If you would like to contact us, you can write to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We don't do a lot of telephoning with people. That's just not who we are. So we prefer that if you write to us, we will certainly read all your communications that you send to P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Is that correct? Yes.
Yes, that's right.
And so now, I think it's very important that we're seeing again this increasing evidence that COVID-19 is a bioweapon, and that's why people got so sick. Now, Lou, I think for the interest of the health of our listeners, why don't you read the article that was shared with you by your close relative?
Yes, this article appeared in the early part of May, around May 5th or 6th, online, and it's written by Aaron S. Bromage, B-R-O-M-A-G-E, who is an associate professor of biology at the University of Massachusetts, the Dartmouth branch. His research focuses on the evolution of the immune system and the immunological mechanisms responsible for protection from infectious disease. And he begins by saying most people are infected at home by people bringing COVID in from the outside. And a direct quote, there are very few states that have demonstrated a sustained decline in numbers of new infections. Indeed, the majority are still increasing and reopening. When you take out the data from New York and just look at the rest of the USA, daily case numbers are increasing. Bottom line, the only reason the total U.S. case numbers look flat right now is because New York City epidemic was so large and is now being contained. So throughout most of the country, we are going to add fuel to the viral fire by reopening. Now, I would caution that this is about almost a month ago, but much of what he says is very important. And some of the key points. First of all, an estimate. 1,000 COVID viral particles are needed for an infection to take hold. This can happen with one breath, one eye rub, or 100 viral particles inhaled with each breath over 10 breaths, or 10 viral particles with 100 breaths. Toilet flushing aerosolizes many droplets. Public bathroom surfaces and air need extra caution. Coughs. A single cough releases about 3,000 droplets traveling at 50 miles per hour. Most droplets are large and fall quickly, but many do stay in the air and can travel across the room in a few seconds. Sneeze. This one really astounded me. A single sneeze releases about 30,000 droplets, traveling at up to 200 miles per hour. Most droplets are small and travel great distances, easily across a room. One infected person's single cough or sneeze may contain 200 million virus particles, which can all be dispersed into the environment around them. Fewer droplets and lower velocity are present in a single breath. Speaking increases the release of droplets about tenfold. Spending greater than 10 minutes close to someone infected can give you a potential infection. This is the basis of contact tracing. At least 44% of infections occur from people without any symptoms, asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic people. A person can be shedding the virus into the environment before symptoms begin. An enclosed place with poor air circulation and high density of people spells trouble. For example, biggest outbreaks are in prisons, religious ceremonies, workplaces such as meatpacking facilities, and call centers. Some examples of spread. A restaurant case. Infected person A1 set a table, and there was a diagram, I should add, to go with this in the original article. So if you can't quite follow this, you can at least get the main points. That person had dinner with 9 friends. Dinner took 1 to 1.5 hours. The carrier was asymptomatic, releasing low virus levels from breathing. Restaurant airflow vents moved air from the right to the left. Approximately 50% of the people at the infected person's table became sick over the next 7 days. 75% of people at adjacent downwind table became infected. Even 2 of 7 people on the upwind side, tables on that side, were infected, believed to happen by turbulent airflow. No one at tables E or F, and that's those that were not directly in the pathway of any of the air, were infected. They were out of the main airflow from the air condition on the right to exhaust fan on the left of the room. Another example, church choir in Washington State. Sang for 2.5 hours inside enclosed church. Over 4 days, 45 of 60 choir members developed symptoms, and 2 died. The youngest infected was 31, but the average was 67 years old. Another example, Canadian curling, and that's the curling sport. For those of you familiar with it, 72 attendees with contestants and teammates in close contact in a cool indoor environment with heavy breathing for an extended period. 24 out of the 72 became infected. In summation, all these infection events were indoors with people closely spaced with lots of talking, singing, or yelling. Main infection source, home, workplace, public transport, social gathering, restaurants. This accounts for 90% of all transmission events. From countries doing proper contact tracing, only a single outbreak has been reported from an outdoor environment. Social distancing guidelines don't prevent the virus from spreading in indoor spaces where you spend a lot of time when people on the opposite side of the room are infected. Example, the 60 people in a volleyball game in a court-sized room results in massing infections. That probably should be massive infections. Same situation with a restaurant or call center. Even low viral exposure over an extended period of time in the air reaching people inside was enough to cause infection, and in some cases, death. One other example. This is a true case from Chicago. Bob, and that's a pseudonym, was infected but didn't know it. He shared takeout with 2 family members served from common serving dishes. The dinner lasted 3 hours. Next day at a funeral, Bob hugged family and friends. In 4 days, both family members who shared the meal were sick. A third family member who hugged Bob at the funeral became sick. Bob then attended a birthday party with 9 other people. They hugged and shared food for 3 hours. 7 of those people became ill. Over the next few days, Bob became sick. He was hospitalized, ventilated, and died. But Bob's legacy lived on. 3 of the people Bob infected at the birthday party went to church, where they sang, passed the tithing plate, etc. Members of that church became sick. And all Bob was directly responsible for infecting 16 people between the ages of 5 and 86. 3 of those 16 died. So there's a...
That's really
good
interesting.
Examples.
It's very, very interesting. And so, you know, you can pray about this. You can think about what God wants you to do. Let's move right on, Lou.
Yes. Now, let's see.
I think that, do you have some more headlines and then
I believe
the
that
update
I do,
on
yes.
Moderna? Okay.
All right. Okay, some interesting public opinion headlines from Sunday, May 24th. This was from www.cnet.com by Ian Scheer. Over 40% of Republicans think Bill Gates will use COVID-19 vaccine to implant tracking microchips, a survey says. And that was a survey from Yahoo News and U.gov, or U.gov. This was a survey of 1,640 U.S. adults. Half of those who say Fox News is their primary TV source believe this is true. That is their primary news source. 44% of both self-described Republicans and those who, quote, voted for Donald Trump in 2016, unquote, say it is true. 26% of responding Republicans say it was false. And 31% said they weren't sure. Neither representatives for Fox News, the Republican Party, the White House, or the Trump 2020 campaign responded to requests for comment. Nor did the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation respond to requests for comment. May 27th, some current headlines from naturalnews.com. Shut them down. It's time to end the tyranny of big tech censorship in America. Mike Adams' article laments the use of fact-checking as an excuse for Twitter, Google, Wikipedia, YouTube, and Facebook to interrupt the communications of conservative or pro-Trump users with radical left-wing propaganda messages. This is politically targeted censorship. It's election rigging. It's a violation of the civil rights of millions of Americans, and it's almost certainly a type of criminal racketeering and fraud that should be prosecuted aggressively by the Department of Justice and attorneys general across the 50 states. The president himself is finally vowing to do something decisive about big tech tyranny. He says Twitter has demonstrated we are correct in our assessment of them, and, quote, big action is to follow.
This could not be more welcome news to hear this, Lou, because even you and I and our little website were targeted. Our old website, thedividedkingdom.org, was taken down. So we had to get a new website. Possibly, they said, because of our sometimes talking about Alex Jones. We don't have a close relationship with him, but we did quote him sometimes. So you see, if something can come to a program as small as we are, what about the larger ramifications of this during election time? They are very important. And so now, does that complete the headlines that you had, Lou?
It does, yes.
Now let's move right to what's going on with Moderna. It's so important. And you don't want to miss our program next week. We have much more to tell you. So again, tell people to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. And Lou, tell them where they're to go to hear the program?
Yes, just use the drop-down menu and just select the archives. Or
yes.
Maybe if you use, depending upon the computer you're using, it may be one of the, I guess you call them tabs across the top of the screen. Anyway, look for archives.
And don't worry if the written text is blank. Just
That's
go
right.
ahead.
Just,
All
just
right,
select
now,
the date you
what
want.
What about Moderna? Let's get right into it.
All right,
it.
Here's the headline. Moderna's mRNA, that's messenger RNA, coronavirus vaccine caused serious injury in 20% of the patients in high-dose group.
Now, we've already told you about Operation Warp Speed and Jump Start and these billions of dollars that are into this insane push before something would ever be categorized as even beginning to be safe. Go ahead.
This appeared in Natural News, was written by Mike Adams, May 25th, 2020. The Moderna vaccine company that's attempting to use the mRNA, messenger RNA technology platform to rapidly create a coronavirus vaccine has been widely accused of a pump-and-dump stock scheme involving the pumping of company stocks with widely touted press releases that claim positive outcomes for Phase 1 vaccine trials. But buried in Moderna's own press release is an admission that Moderna's mRNA-1273 vaccine caused serious injuries in 15% of patients who were injected. Importantly, the so-called grade 3 systemic symptoms, that's in quotes, grade 3 systemic symptoms, which require medical intervention, appeared after the second round of vaccine injections, underscoring the suspicion that the first vaccine injection sets up the body for an injurious or even deadly reaction upon a second exposure to a pathogen. High-dose subjects suffered, quote, serious adverse events, unquote.
Now, I have to interject. Isn't this important information? You're not hearing it on Fox News or CNN. And if you value this program, we have no commercials that you have to sit through and drum your fingers about. If you consider this important news, that you're getting the truth, the hard-hitting news, and you want to help us, you can put a little cash. You can put some postage stamps that are always helpful to us. You could write a money order. You could write a check. We cannot take personal checks, but you could make out a check of any amount to WWCR, and you could put it in an envelope and mail it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Lou, this is something else that they have discovered, this bad reaction there to some of these participants in this study, so that they think it happened. The first round of the vaccine set them up for the repercussions in the second round.
Yes,
go ahead.
That's exactly right. The injuries were reported at the 250 microgram dose levels, and Moderna removed those participants from any consideration of antibody reporting, restricting their antibody claims to those who received lower doses.
Now, you and I commented, and I believe Mike Adams commented, that this is silly because this is a low dose to begin with.
That's
and
right.
So this shows how potently evil the effects were, that they had to get even a lower dose than the low, like the lowest of the low.
Yes, in fact, this is what Mike says. 250 micrograms is a very tiny dose, just one-fourth of one-one-thousandth of a gram. Many vaccines inject subjects with similar doses. And we have a quote from Children's Health Defense. Three of the 15 human guinea pigs in the high-dose cohort suffered a serious adverse event. That's a, in quote, serious adverse event within 43 days of receiving Moderna's jab. The quote goes on to say, Moderna did not release its clinical trial study or raw data, but its press release, which was freighted with inconsistencies, acknowledged that three volunteers developed grade 3 systemic events defined by the FDA as, quote, preventing daily activity and requiring medical intervention, unquote. A vaccine with those...
I wonder whether that means sick as a dog, probably.
It could well be. Now, back to Mike's words. A vaccine with those reaction rates could cause grave injuries in 1.5 billion humans if administered to, quote, every person on Earth, unquote. Moderna skipped animal trials and years of human trials in its mad rush to market. Moderna says in its press release that it's rushing to a Phase 3 trial in early July, skipping the normal 1 to 3 years that it would usually take to determine vaccine safety in Phase 1 and Phase 2 trials. The fact that the Moderna vaccine caused a 15% rate of serious adverse events during the Phase 1 trial hasn't stopped the vaccine company from exposing others to its risky experimental vaccine. If anything, the company is doubling down on testing it in more people, albeit at lower doses than it hopes won't produce the same level of potentially injurious side effects. Children's Health Defense further warns, quote, these outcomes are particularly disappointing because the most hazardous hurdle for the inoculation is still ahead, challenging participants with wild COVID infection. Past attempts at developing COVID vaccines have always faltered at this stage as both humans and animals achieved robust antibody responses, then sickened and died when exposed to the wild virus, unquote. Back to Mike's words. In other words, even if the messenger RNA vaccine produces antibodies, that's nowhere close to achieving a safe vaccine. In previous vaccine trials involving animal subjects treated with SARS-CoV-1 pathogens, the animal subjects died when exposed to subsequent infections because the vaccine set up their bodies for a deadly cytokine storm, an enhanced immune reaction that leads to systemic inflammation and death. Children's Health Defense characterized the Moderna vaccine trial results as a catastrophe, and the CEO of Moderna, Stéphane Bancel, previously admitted that messenger RNA injections into the body actually cause flu-like immune responses that are undesirable. And this is a quote from that very CEO of Moderna from 2013. Messenger RNA creates an immune response. Why? Because the virus is made of mRNA, like the flu. So if we inject mRNA in a patient, what happens? Your body thinks you just got the flu. And it's not very good for our drug because you know all the symptoms of the flu. Not super nice. And the problem with going very high in dose as you go around your body, you have a ton of side effects. So that's a direct quote from that company's CEO. Is it any wonder why Moderna executives are selling their own stock shares like mad, even as they claim to be ramping up a world-changing breakthrough that, if true, would earn stockholders a windfall of profits? What do Moderna executives know? In other words, that they aren't telling us? The most likely answer is that the Moderna vaccine is highly unlikely to ever work without imparting enormous safety risks to patients. We had a few other quotes from the Children's Health Defense website, but I think in the interest of time,
you know,
I'm going to back over.
I want to just add to what you have said. We heard an important interview with David Knight and Owen Schroyer on Memorial Day of all times on InfoWars. And, of course, David Knight was an engineer before he was a radio talk show host, and he lived in North Carolina, so he had observed all this work that was going on at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, on the bat viruses before, during the Obama years, it was transferred to Wuhan, we understand. So David explained that in this vaccine from Moderna, they are introducing RNA fragments, and they make some use of your own stem cells, mRNA, and that these viruses are just tiny fragments of DNA, RNA, and then your body begins to replicate this, and then, you see, it starts to kill the person. And they use these eternal cell lines. And we've heard about Henrietta Lacks, the young black woman who had cancer, and her cells seem to live forever. So they've been used throughout decades for a lot of these viral experiments. And David pointed out the similarity with cancer cells being eternal. Cancer cells, you see, don't die. And so these eternal cell lines have sort of an association, he portends, with cancer. And the HVP virus, for instance, and I believe that's Gardasil, is associated with various types of cancer. And he says this mRNA can directly damage our DNA. And when they use that process of CRISPR, you know, where they can do gene editing and all of that, he says that's not precise, that it's like a chainsaw. So you see, we're being butchered, actually. Our DNA is sort of being butchered. And he says this RNA causes mutations, that each person gets changed differently from others. And that was interesting, Lou, I thought.
Yes.
And he says, so Moderna is operating close to the chest. And he says their new vaccine is actually a virus itself. It goes in and confuses the body cells, and then it'll start damaging the body. And then there was a discussion of the nanoparticles that surround the RNA that they inject. And there's a delay, you see, of these effects to happen. But the other point is that it was brought out, there's no demand from all of us for such a thing. We're not crying out for this. And here's a little black sinister note. DARPA is partnering with Moderna. This is a government push. DARPA, the Department of Advanced Research Projects, a lot of things have come from DARPA. Even the Internet, I think, originally. It's not real good. And so many people who seem to be on the sidelines who shouldn't have an interest in this, even Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, said, we've got to have a vaccine. And David Knight said that Alan Dershowitz, and we heard him, We heard the clip of him saying it was constitutionally legal to take you against your will and inject you. He said Dershowitz is just blowing excrement at you when he says it is constitutional. It's far from constitutional. And so inherent in a lot of this, according to David Knight, we have this insane Georgia Guidestones ideal of the New World Order, the population culling. We know that Bill Gates called for 700,000 people to be gone. We're an insult, you see, to Mother Gaia, to the planet Earth. And so they want to push this, David Knight claims, before side effects show up. And Moderna spokesman said that what they're doing is an art. Is this the art of murder? We'd have to ask. So these RNA fragments can attach and damage one in your DNA, and they can harm the immune system. And the viruses are RNA fragments, and they're not living things. So they cause inflammation. You see, your body wants to get rid of this. Why in the world should we have the Obama years legacy of the Weathermen and all of that completely overthrow America ideal and communism stuck in the Trump years? Why do we need a vaccine, Zarlou, do you think? Do we?
I don't think we do. No. This should be left to scientists, and they shouldn't be rushed. And I think I've heard it said, and perhaps you can back this up, Elizabeth, that no coronavirus has ever had a vaccine successfully made against
it. I think that's true. And we say viva President Trump for having his doctor prescribe hydroxychloroquine to him as a preventive, probably a prophylaxis against the COVID-19. It's really great because of Dr. Daniel Wallace, the head of the Lupus Foundation of America, using hydroxychloroquine for 43 years, I think on 24 patients with zero hospitalization, zero death. Yes. Let's affirm the life-giving things that God brings to us and turn our back on those agents of darkness who would kill us and enslave us. We hope that you enjoyed this program. And again, visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. See my essay on 5G. There are a lot of important things about 5G and important things about the vaccine that we must get to next week. So tune in again. Hear us on WWCR.com Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, or on 4.840 megahertz at the same time, 8 o'clock Thursday. Hear us on KStarTalkRadio.com Saturdays at 5 p.m., Sundays at 10 a.m., and hear us on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, 5 p.m. Mondays. God bless each listener, and we're praying for you. Please pray for our provision and protection. Good night.